Chris, thank you so much for allowing me to take over part of your day here again.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So, new year, new goals. Do you see a big rush of people in this time of year ready to reset and make changes?
Oh, all the time. And it's a good thing, right? It's a new year, so yeah. People want to try to make some positive changes. So we hope that we can be of help in some fashion.
But a lot of us start the new year, or whenever they start, but typically in the beginning of the year, with big intentions, but then life happens, right? And when someone says, I just want to eat healthier, where do you usually start with them?
Oh, good question. The very first thing that because I've been doing this for so many years,
yeah.
The first thing I usually have people look at is, what are you drinking? Tell me what you're drinking during the day.
What are you drinking?
What kind of fluids do you drink? And if they're drinking the, you know, fancy coffees or soda pops,
yeah.
I point out to how much calories and sugar that they're actually consuming, and can we switch that out for, you know, a zero calorie beverage instead,
yeah.
Or replace it with water with lemon or whatever it
is.
Yeah,
but Chris, you're messing with people's Coke and Pepsi. I mean, come on.
I know. But then I show them my, you know, thing of sugar.
Yes.
And show them how much sugar they're actually swallowing in one can of soda pop. It's like, you know, you're talking somewhere it's up to 15 teaspoons of sugar.
Oh, my gosh.
And the calories, and then I add up the calories for them, say how many cans are you drinking a day, and then add that up 7 days a week. And I said, if you did anything, nothing, no other changes, but cut that out, and you kept everything else the same, you would lose weight.
Wow. So you're really, it's almost like it's better to focus on small changes.
Very much
instead
so.
Of yep. Completely changing everything overnight.
No, you can't. You can't go home and clean the cupboard out and start from scratch. It doesn't work. You got to find, you know, one small mighty change that
yeah.
You can stick with, and then work on that until you get it to stick, and then pick up on another thing
yeah.
That you think you need to work on, like, you know, what snacking habits do I have, you know, what am I choosing to snack on.
Yeah. So you mentioned the soda pop. So if you're a soda pop drinker, and if you can switch to a diet, or like you said, water, maybe lemon, something like that, what's another simple change that someone could make during their day or week that might make up?
Then the next question is, okay, in a typical day, how many fruits or vegetables would you eat?
Oh, yeah.
And if the answer is, oh, zero, maybe? I don't know. I've never thought of that.
Do Skittles count as
no.
As fruit?
No. No, nor do fruit snacks.
No.
So, yeah, so it's like, you know, let's try to incorporate at least one vegetable a day or one fruit a day. You know, replace it with maybe the potato chips that you're having at lunch with your sandwich. One small
yeah.
Little change at a time.
Something that you can manage, right?
I'm hoping that's the case, but, you know, everybody's different.
And it seems like that's probably, I'm answering my own question, but that's probably why so many of these diets fail so quickly. What did I read?
Oh.
That people give up on their New Year's resolution by, what, end of January, well, middle of January or into February. That's probably why these diets fail by February.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of fad diets.
Right.
So, you know, a fad diet to me is, it's a fad, and it's not doable for long-term changes.
Right.
I don't think there's any really pros to a fad diet other than maybe it's making you more aware of, you know, what I've been eating and what am I not eating now, kind of thing. But down the road, it is not a long term.
But that's our society, though, isn't it? I want that quick fix.
Yeah.
I want that magic. You know, we're going to get into this later on. But, you know, with my current weight loss, the biggest question that people have, they come up to me and like they go, "So what did you do?" And they're looking at me like, give me almost like with a notepad.
Right, right.
Ready to write it down. What did you do? What was it? What did you do? What's the pill you took? What is the...
So what did you do?
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
That's right.
You did the exercise.
Oh, yeah.
You committed to...
They don't want to hear that. You know what I'm saying?
What pill are you taking?
What is that quick thing? What is that? Tell me the weight loss plan. Tell me that, you know, what is the Atkins or the Mediterranean this or the caveman that? They want that quick...
Yeah. Thing, so, right? and that's the other thing you got to remember is that not everybody can wear the same shoe, right?
Yes. Right.
So our all body types are all different. Yeah. There are certainly a lot of different philosophies out there that, you know, might be doable for one person, but not doable for another person.
Yeah.
So as a registered dietitian, nutritionist, we still advocate for all foods to fit into your diet. If there's a food group that you're told to eliminate, that's a fad diet to me. That should not happen because you get different vitamins, you get different minerals out of all these different foods. The whole food is where it's at, not necessarily relying on a pill to take for that. You get so many different benefits from the whole food.
Mm. Chris Willis is the clinical dietitian for OSF Healthcare St. Mary Medical Center here in Galesburg, and I love our visits because we get into some great topics here. And as you were mentioning, not everyone has the same goal. Some want to lose weight, some want to manage blood sugar, some want more energy or build muscle. So how much should a person's health history guide what kind of eating plan they follow?
Oh, certainly. Like if you're diabetic, for instance, we're going to focus more on carbohydrates. But I think what you're looking at too is whether you have heart disease, whether you have diabetes, whether you have none of those and you just want to lose weight. If you look at following something like the Mediterranean diet or the DASH diet, those are not fad diets. Those are eating plans that incorporate heart-healthy, anti-inflammatory foods and incorporate fiber, which is important for all of us to have for healthy guts.
Yeah.
So I think you're looking at a plan that fits all types would be those two particular diet plans and working on how can I incorporate. And so instead of frying my eggs in lard or bacon grease, can I utilize nonstick cooking spray or can I add a little olive oil or avocado oil to the pan, which is heart healthier?
Yeah.
Instead.
I think we can probably entitle this whole interview Little Changes, right?
Absolutely.
Because everything you talk about are these little things, the small changes that you can make in your day-to-day.
Small changes that can add up to big changes over the long run.
But is it possible that there's really one best diet out there?
Honestly, I'm going to say yes.
Oh,
the Mediterranean and DASH diets are highly recommended and have been proven to be, as I said, beneficial for not just your heart health, but anti-inflammatory for the whole body. And a lot of inflammation issues stem from too much sugar, too much processed foods in our diet. And these two eating plans focus on whole food.
Yeah.
And less of those other things.
Chris Willis is a good friend of the radio station and a good friend of the community here. She's the clinical dietitian and with OSF Healthcare St. Mary Medical Center here in Galesburg. You mentioned gut health, and it's become a big topic lately. In fact, I'm going to be honest here. I just bought some mushroom coffee last week, and I was going to ask you. I knew we were going to be talking, and I know you're looking at it. She's a mushroom coffee. What are you doing? Well, I saw this and it said gut health I just thought, you know, so I already know I'm going to go back and throw it in the garbage. But anyway,
I don't know that one, but
yeah, but it talks about gut health and, why is gut health so important to our overall health?
Yeah, we have so many healthy gut bacteria. Call them microbes in our gut, and the more we have of those, and the more diverse they are, they found that it can help the body remain, you know, keep the inflammation down.
Yeah.
Be good for brain health and heart health as well. The problem is in the society of fast food and refined foods, then the gut health goes kaput. And that's where problems are starting. So they're finding a lot of healthful benefits to fiber and overall health just related to our own guts.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get at least 25 to 30 grams of fiber a day. So you're talking that's can be fairly easy to do if you incorporate at least one high fiber food, such as Just an example would be a half cup of Fiber One cereal, which has 14 grams of fiber. So that's roughly half of your fiber intake for a day.
Yeah.
And then if you add a fresh fruit with that, a vegetable, and the dried beans are always good. The dried beans and legumes are high fiber too.
Yeah.
I mean, you can easily meet fiber needs, but you also have to feed. So those are fiber sources, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then that gut bacteria likes to feed on the prebiotic foods. So you've got to get a combination, and that's where the fermented foods come into play.
Okay.
Your sauerkraut, your pickled beets, your pickles.
Oh, yeah.
Your kefir. And the probiotics are more like your yogurt. So you've got food for your fiber in your gut that feeds the good gut microbe. So you need a combination, a good diverse amount. And again, going back to those, the Mediterranean diet, the DASH diet, is all about, you know, getting your whole grains in, not eliminating the carbohydrate food group, and incorporating the fruits and vegetables for the diversity of fibers and nutrients they provide for the body.
Yeah. You mentioned probiotics. I mean, are they necessary? Do you have to take? Because I see the advertisements all the time.
I don't know, you know, supplement wise, you know, what to tell you if you want to take them. I'm sure it's not harmful, but
food can do the job.
I am a big advocate of the Greek yogurts, which are higher in protein, of course, but or any of the yogurts that are not high sugar, of course, to help get that probiotic back into your system. So yeah, I start my day with that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Every day. How do you know you're having issues with your gut health?
Oh, are you having regular healthy bowel movements?
Well, that's
or are you not? Yes. Are you constipated?
Right.
Are you having too much, you know, in the opposite direction? So those are two good telltale signs whether you've got a good working gut or not.
Yeah. Chris Willis is a clinical dietitian with OSF Healthcare St. Mary Medical Center here in Galesburg. And you mentioned, let's talk supplements. You know, we kind of got into that because a lot of people take a daily vitamin and just assume that they're covered for all of those minerals. Do most people really need to take a daily multivitamin?
Yeah, not necessarily. And I'm going to tell you, I'm hot and cold on that myself, but I've gotten in just in a regular, just as a backup, because there are some days when I know I don't get, you know, all the foods in that I need to get in. So a general multivitamin supplement might not be harmful to anybody.
Yeah.
Whether you need to go and take a whole bunch of different other ones, really I would like for you to consult with your healthcare provider based on your blood lab values. You know, so they can do vitamin D levels on you to determine whether you're low in vitamin D or not. And then that's a kind of a prescription, you know, mega dose until you reach your optimal level that you should have in your bloodstream, and then maintenance doses. But things like osteoporosis, then they're probably going to recommend calcium plus vitamin D supplementation for that. People that have an iron deficiency anemia, you're going to be recommended to take the iron supplements. And then people that are vegetarian probably need the B12 supplements because they're not getting it in the food that they're eating.
Okay.
So there's different populations.
Can you overdo it with vitamins, supplements?
You can probably, like the fat-soluble vitamins, A, D, E, and K, because they're not as easily eliminated through the body.
Okay.
Like your vitamin C, you could probably keep taking and it probably won't hurt, because the more you take doesn't mean it's necessarily going to stay in your body. It's just going to be flushed right out through your system, because it's what we call a water-soluble vitamin. Can't hurt, right?
Yeah, Are there certain supplements that you see people just wasting their money on, where it's maybe it's fad stuff?
There's a lot out there.
Yeah.
I really think it's a big money-making market out there, and it's really sad. Again, you've got certain populations. Your bodybuilders need extra protein supplements, so they're going to do those powder supplements. Or, you know, if there's some hair loss issues going on, there's people doing some, you know, the collagen or the hair replacement thing that tends to be somewhat helpful. But for the most part, I really caution the person to, you know, get your blood workup done, talk to your healthcare provider first to find out, you know, are there any deficiencies I really have that I need to be working on?
Chris Willis is a clinical dietitian with OSF Healthcare St. Mary Medical Center here in Galesburg. We love our conversations with Chris. We usually do it around this time of year because people are wanting to make a change and get healthier and all that. And it's hard to stick to all this. And we're talking about making those small little changes. So I hope you're taking notes out there. But when we talk about exercise and moving more, that's got to be a big part of it because food is only part of the picture. Exercise plays a big role. I know you are such a huge proponent of that. How important is exercise when it comes to weight management and blood sugar control?
Huge. You need a little bit of the cardio, more for our heart health, because our heart needs to remember that it's a heart and it needs exercise too, just like fiber. Our gut needs exercise, so fiber is important for the colon to keep it moving. So exercise, that's almost like a four-letter word. So movement, creative movement, however you like to do it, whether it's dance, whether it's yoga, whether it's, you know, running on the treadmill or running outside or cycling, whatever it is, movement. Yeah. Movement is good. Taking the stairs instead of the elevator, you know, once or twice a day if you're used to doing just the elevator, just one small little increments. Park as far away from the storefront as you can to get that little extra steps in. But I think the biggest component, and the one that I think we miss, especially as we get older, is the strength training and the importance of maintaining that muscle mass.
You've got a great story about how it, just your own personal journey with the weight. You had brought this up maybe a couple years ago when we talked, that you were like, hey, this is something I should put into play, right?
Yeah, it's an eye-opener. I hate getting old. But it's the, you know, when you realize that I should be able to pick that up without struggling. I should be able to do a little. I'm like realizing that I used to do a lot of strength training when I was really competing and serious. And then I got away from that and just strictly did cardio with no weights and realized, man, my muscle mass has really declined. And it happens as we get older.
Yeah.
And it becomes so much more important as we get older to try to maintain some muscle mass, not only just for that, but for balance and safety issues out there. But more muscle mass is going to create more energy expenditure.
Yeah.
So you're going to lose more weight if you have a little more muscle mass than you do fat mass.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, there's, if you have 5 pounds of muscle and 5 pounds of fat, I always ask everybody which one weighs more, the 5 pounds of muscle or the 5 pounds of fat.
It's a trick question there, isn't
it? Yes. You know how many people.
but they are bigger.
The fat takes up more mass in your body.
Yeah.
And it only utilizes maybe 5 calories per pound, you know, versus the fat, which is the muscle, which is going to burn up twice the amount just sitting there. So another reason, the people that have more muscle mass are going to sit there and burn more calories than the person without as much muscle mass.
Yeah.
So another positive, if you're really wanting to maintain weight loss, is to incorporate that strength training.
Yeah. Chris Willis is a clinical dietitian from OSF Healthcare St. Mary Medical Center. I see Chris at the YMCA regularly, and you and I both know who this is. We won't mention his name, but an elderly gentleman who is at the Y every single day, not just there. I mean, obviously, it's a social thing. He is lifting weights. He is on the treadmill like he's running away from a bear.
Harold. Yeah. Way to go, Harold.
It looks like he's running away. He puts us all to shame. It puts me to shame, I tell you. And I know he's a
wonderful inspiration.
He is an inspiration, and especially for people who are older. His range of motion, he can lift his arms above his head that a lot of older people, they can't do.
Flexibility.
What a great inspiration for it can be done. But when you got into strength training, did you feel like, you know, where do I start? What do I do? Because I know a lot of people get into there, it's intimidating.
I, was very intimidating for me as a former athlete, even.
Okay.
I can't imagine not
even
not
for
and,
you.
And having had that experience, mm-hmm. it was going back into something that was not so comfortable for me. It was
yeah.
really uncomfortable going in out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
So I actually did have, well, I know my husband could have done it too, but my son, who's been into weightlifting,
okay.
Took me. I said, can you take me down there and show me some things
yeah.
that
to
I can
gym,
do that are
sim- right?
yeah,
okay.
that are simple and
yeah.
easy to start with? And of course, he, like you, you're using a lot of the, what I call the Nautilus equipment.
Yeah.
Not free weights, a whole lot of free weights, but
yeah.
you get the ones that, and they give you directions right there on what to do.
Yep.
And you just start small. Because if you go in there trying to think you're going to lift a heavier weight, you're going to be sore the next day.
And then you're going to hate it and you're going to
stop. You're going to hate it.
That was my old motivation.
So yeah, the other thing too is too, if it's something you aren't comfortable with, then people like at the Y, for instance, have professionals there that will show you and guide you. So
yeah.
those particular people are go-to people also
yeah,
for that
yeah.
as well.
Very good. It's at least do something, small little things.
Yes.
I was the same way. I didn't want to, because I know how I am, I didn't want to overdo it because I would hate it and then I would
mm-hmm.
stop. And I really wanted to stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do this. You just have to be consistent. Let's bring that word up again.
Oh, wow. Consistency
yeah.
is key.
Yeah. Because our metabolism, we talked about metabolism as we get older. It slows down, right?
It sure does.
Mm-hmm.
because why? Because we tend to lose the muscle
yeah,
mass
right.
as we get older. And we usually become less active,
yeah.
most of us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a catch-22. And then
so,
for women, there's hormonal issues
sure,
too.
Sure. And well, let's talk about that. I mean, let's my wife is of a certain age, and she was going through menopause. And one of the big things that they said is strength training
yeah.
for women going through menopause.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
really helped her.
And also, they changed the story on hormone replacement therapy too.
Yes.
So that's come back into
yeah.
the forefront as being very beneficial.
Yeah, yeah.
For most of us, anyway, not everyone, but yeah, the
mm-hmm.
the strength training still is very, very key for
yeah.
for all of us.
So, but Chris, I can't go to the Y. I can't go to a gym for whatever reason it is. You know, what do I do? What can I do? There are things you can do. My grandmother was 93 years old, and she did several exercises at her kitchen sink. She stood at the sink, lifted her legs, put her arms above her head.
Yep, there's
she
lots
did
of,
stuff.
Of simple YouTube exercises,
yes.
chair exercises
yes,
for elderly people.
Yes.
Videos that you can get on TV even
yeah.
if you need to. But at-home things.
Yeah. She would get up and walk around about every, I don't know, couple hours. She'd get up from her recliner, and she'd walk around the house. Didn't have anything to do, just wanted to get up and move. And
yep.
then she'd go sit
setting
back
an
in.
Alarm maybe to if
yes.
you're sitting there watching TV all day. You know, set an alarm that reminds you to get up and move.
Yeah. Oh,
do
boy.
Something.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris Willis is a clinical dietitian for OSF Healthcare, St. Mary Medical Center here in Galesburg. You are also, let me get this correct. I didn't have my notes correct here. Certified diabetic specialist? Help me out here.
They say a certified diabetes education specialist.
Education specialist, okay.
Yeah.
But you specialize in helping people who have diabetes, type 1 and type 2. So I thought we'd spend a little bit of time talking about diabetes because it's such a huge part of what you do. And because there's so many more people every single day that are being diagnosed with this disease. And I'll start here. For someone newly diagnosed with diabetes, what are the most important nutrition changes that they should focus on first?
Well, basically the first things that I mentioned. First of all, tell me what you're drinking.
Okay. It still goes back to that. Yeah.
It still stems
yeah.
from that. And then looking at, I teach them about how to count their carbs, looking at carbohydrates.
Okay.
But utilization of what I call the plate method.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm still going to go to that.
Yep.
I think it's the best concept that we've come out with. And it just shows you simply half your plate with vegetables, a quarter of your plate for your protein, and mm-hmm. a quarter plate for your starch.
Yeah.
Grain food. whatever it is. And then off to the side, you can have a fruit and you can have some milk.
Yeah.
Just incorporate all the food groups if you wanted to. But it's that, and it's teaching portion.
Yeah.
Portion size. Mm. But to, the simple thing to start out with, I tell them, fill half your plate with veggies and the other half with your protein. Just start there.
Yeah. Simple. That's we need
not
simple,
saying
that, don't
to,
we?
To eliminate the carbs, but looking then at what carbs then are you going to choose that are higher fiber for you.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's hearing about medications like Ozempic, Mounjaro, and others for diabetes and for weight loss. What exactly do these GLP-1 medications do?
So these medications basically get rid of the food noise that you have in your brain.
Yeah.
It's a communication between your brain and your gut so that you no longer constantly feel hungry or that you have to constantly eat. Mm-hmm. It's also good for, obviously, blood glucose management as well.
Yeah, and that's what they were originally
exactly
made for, correct?
Until
suddenly they become the...
So now the difference is the dosage that they use it for. And, you know, again, the barrier to that usually is insurance or, you know, money.
But it's what the rich people, it's what Oprah is taking and the celebrities are taking, and the rest of us, you know, are not able to do that, have access to it. But they're really meant for diabetes management, right?
Well, if you talk to the insurance companies, sure.
Yeah.
But no, for weight loss, it has been huge for the people that need to lose weight out there. It has been a huge positive because we find that obesity is a disease.
Yeah.
It's a disease. Mm-hmm. So if you look at your genetic predisposition, you're probably with a parent or two that are overweight, you're generally going to probably fall into that same category eventually. Yes, there's some lifestyle management things that you can do to incorporate, and it's not always just the magic pill, but it has certainly been huge at helping that process of weight loss with these people because now they no longer feel like they have to eat all those calories that they had. But they also need to learn to also incorporate weight strength training because muscle mass can be easily lost and to eat and because there can be some malnourishment involved with that because you just sometimes don't feel like eating. And so they don't get enough protein in. And then when what happens with that? You decrease muscle mass, you start losing hair, you start losing your energy level. So,
well, I thought we would take this part of our conversation. You and I talked a week or two ago. What are we going to talk about? And we definitely wanted to get into talking about my situation because
I think everybody needs to hear how successful you have been.
They need to hear the story. I think they do too, because it was last year when we talked, I hadn't been diagnosed with diabetes yet. It was probably probably about a month after you and I talked last, last year for Galesburg in Focus, that I was diagnosed with diabetes. I went to my doctor appointment, hadn't been for a couple years, and I've got heart issues. I've got a couple stents that I had in 2019. Backing up, my history is I've always been overweight, always. I've been as high as 354 pounds. I lost 120 pounds, gained it all back. About every 10 years, I tell people about every 10 years, Chris, I gain and lose 100 pounds or more. So last year in February, I was diagnosed with diabetes. Mm-hmm. And after my appointment, I went back to the radio station, the doctor appointment, went back to the radio station. I got a phone call on my cell phone from Chris Willis from OSF, who said, hey, I just got this note. I was to give you a call. And I at the time when I was talking to you, I can remember I'm in the studio. I was getting ready to do some recording, still reeling from this news because my mom had diabetes. She died from diabetic related causes, liver, kidney. She was a very obese person. Mm-hmm. And so this was something I've dealt with all my life.
Mm-hmm.
She was probably about the same age as I was when she was first diagnosed with diabetes. So all this stuff is going through my head. And Chris calls me on my cell phone to talk to me about it. She wants to send me information and talking to me about it. And I got to tell you that she really helped me because, and I'll get a little emotional here, because I was very ashamed. Oh, huge shame. Yeah. And the first thing she said, oh, my gosh, you've got nothing to be ashamed about. Oh, my gosh. She said, chances are, this is, you know, a lot of what you're dealing with is genetic. Do you have that happen with people? You have to talk people off the ledge here, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And then the fact that they can make, that this is a, you may get that diagnosis, but it's manageable. It's very manageable. You do have to, you know, take some charge and find, you know, those certain little steps that you can make to make your life better, which is what you did. So share that with us.
Well, that's true. I'll let you do some of the interviewing here, which is kind of, we're going to flip this a little bit. So my doctor prescribed Mounjaro, and I didn't know what it was. First of all, my first thought, and I'm going to be honest, first thought was, I can't afford that. It's $1,500, $1,500. You hear all the stories. It's $1,000 a month. I can't afford that. What is it, a shot? I got to take insulin. What do I got to do? So Mounjaro. I started, it's a weekly shot that I take on Monday night at 6 o'clock, and I've done it now for almost a year. Mm-hmm. It's a short little, and the dose is increased periodically throughout the year. About every 2 or 3 months, it's increased a little bit. And when I first started taking it, I did a lot of, you sent me a bunch of information about diet and all that, things to eat and, you know, how nutrition and all that. And my wife, thank God, God bless her, she took this like a mission. Mm-hmm. She said, I'm going to manage my husband. You know, it really was. And I'm going to help him. And she really did. And she helps me with.
That just goes to show you the support system that an individual needs to be successful.
Yeah.
In whatever endeavor that they want to pursue. But you were fortunate to have that excellent support system.
You mentioned this. This is not the magic pill, even though to me it is magic, and I'll share the results here in just a little bit. But I watched a video that said, yeah, this medicine is great, but you have to change. If you keep eating the way you eat, that you have been eating, and you take this medicine, it's going to make you deathly sick. Really sick, nauseous all the time. And I'm going to tell you honestly, that first day that I started taking it was on a Monday. When I got the medicine, when I got the first shot, I ate clean. When I say I eat clean, I eat chicken, I eat low.
You ate real food.
Real
food.
Vegetables, fruits, Greek yogurt, hummus, beans. You mentioned all those things you were mentioning. That's what I eat now. I eat, and portion size, too. I think the medicine has a lot to do with that, but...
Yeah, like you said, when you go for a snack now, your healthy snack might be, like you said, the sourdough pretzels or the sugar-free chocolate chips.
Yeah, right.
But you're managing the portion size of those foods, and that's a treat for you. Those are yours.
Absolutely. I made it through Christmas, the holidays, with no, you know, Halloween, candy, sugar, all... I haven't had a desire to. So I guess talking about what does this medicine do, you mentioned this. It talks about the food noise, and I'd never heard it put like that before, because that is all I'm – and maybe if you're out there listening the same way, you're the same way. You're constantly thinking about food. You're constantly thinking about what are you going to eat? What are you going to eat? What are you going to eat? I can't wait to eat this.
You're not alone.
It's my first thing that I think about is what am I going to eat? And I stand there at the refrigerator, and I'm not hungry, but I got to eat something. It's weird. And I don't have that as much. Still there, but it's not as loud. The other one was, what else did they say? You mentioned this word. You said food aversion. Food aversion. It's where...
So you don't feel like eating, right? You don't get hungry?
Yeah, not
as bad. So you forget to eat, right?
Yeah.
Forget, kind of, in quotations, but... Yeah. You can go on your day and realize that, you know, hey, I made it through the day and I didn't eat anything. Good for me. Well, no, not good for you.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Because you're missing out on good nutrition, that your body still needs that nourishment, and it still needs the protein and the vitamins and the minerals to function in a healthy manner. And that is a side effect of the medication.
Yeah, I agree. There's many times that I'll go through the whole day and I forget that I just haven't. And another part of it too, you mentioned drinking. I forget to drink water. I don't
get
I'm not thirsty. I'm not. And so that was actually one of the criticisms from the doctor when I've had my blood work done throughout this year. She's like, you've got to drink water. You have to hydrate. You need to drink.
Yeah.
Drink.
Yeah. And that is a challenge for a lot of individuals. Yeah. And the fluid intake is hydration is very vital to all of our organs,
yeah,
especially the heart and the kidney. And a lot of times we run around dehydrated all the time.
Right. I don't know. What else do you want to know?
I want you to tell everybody that you have been very consistent in what you've been doing, especially with your weights.
Yes, absolutely.
Lifting, your strength training, I mean.
Yep, yep.
And your activity.
So I'm sure you hear this from many of the patients that you talk to who, I work out. I was 318 pounds when I was diagnosed with diabetes, and I worked out 5 days a week. See what I'm saying? I mean, I worked out for at least 45 minutes lifting weights,
mm-hmm,
and I was still 318 pounds
yeah,
or
I do
higher.
Remember you telling me that, yes.
So to me, that tells me that, yeah, sure, you're working out.
But what were you eating?
But I was eating like a fiend.
Right.
Eating like, I don't know.
You didn't
like,
pay it. Yeah.
Like
paid.
I was a 16-year-old kid, you know, with a metabolism of a, you know, yeah, 16-year-old.
So that goes to
kid.
Show you, you're a perfect example that
yes.
you've got to go with, it's not just one thing.
No.
That's going to change and make you lose the weight or keep it off.
So I did continue with the weight training. I go to the Y 5-6 days a week, and I do my little thing that I do. I don't do craziness. I'm not there. You know, I'm not one of these guys, you know, lifting the giant weights. That's not me. I'm very methodical.
That we hear in the background all the time.
I am. I'm in the back. Yeah, you hear in the background, throwing the weights down. And that's not me. I am the guy doing the Nautilus machines.
Yep.
I've got a certain routine. I got a little circuit that I do. I'm there to do it. I'm not there to socialize. I'm not there to, I mean, it's like a mental thing for me. Yeah. I go, I got to do it. I do my thing. And
well, especially sometimes you just, that's the only time you have too.
That's right. Right.
Yeah.
And my daughter, who is very into fitness,
mm-hmm,
to the nth degree, she actually got me into going very early in the morning,
mm-hmm,
to where now I get up at 4:30 in the morning. I try to get there between 5:30 and 6,
mm-hmm,
sometimes earlier, sometimes later.
That's when I see you.
Yeah. I'm really trying I feel like it's crazy. I feel like I've done something for the day.
Yeah. Well, it's again, and that's the difference between, so like my husband has always been more of an afternoon kind of exercise guy,
yeah,
which worked great with the raising the kids all those years.
Yeah.
I'm a morning person.
Okay.
If it ain't done in the morning when I first get up, it ain't happening.
Yeah.
Usually. Because I've got other things I want to do after work.
Yeah.
But like spend time with my dog. But you're a morning person or you're an afternoon, and it doesn't matter.
That's
but
what
for
I've
you,
heard.
You
yes.
found out that it worked better for you to get it.
I thought,
over and done
I
with first
could,
thing in the
yes,
morning.
Yes, I thought
and,
I could do
and
afternoons, and many times things happen, life happens, and it gets put off on the back burner.
Probably the biggest thing, though, that I love hearing from you is what it's done to your mental health.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, that's a huge part of this, and you and I talked off mic here about that. We could do a whole other episode of the behavioral health side of being obese,
mm-hmm,
depression, shame.
Mm-hmm.
Antisocial, isolation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people think, well, you're on the radio, you sing, I'm in bands, I have all this. I for someone who wants to be in the background, I picked the wrong freaking hobbies
right.
and career to be out in front of people when I don't want to be in front of people. Because, not because I'm antisocial, but because I'm embarrassed of how I look,
mm-hmm,
and how I feel,
mm-hmm,
and my perception of myself when I look in the mirror. And you know, being someone who is 200 pounds overweight is a huge shame for me, mental thing.
But you've overcome a little bit of that,
trying to
some degree,
trying
but
to
but you feel that it would still be beneficial to have maybe some more of therapy or something behavioral
yes.
Component, which is huge. Again, it's all part of you've got spiritual, you've got behavioral, you've got, you know, your nutrition, you've got your activity, You got to have kind of a balance of it all.
Well, I tell you, the shame from being diagnosed, you know, with diabetes and starting this thing and thinking, oh, man, I'm going to fail just like I failed everything else. But when you started seeing, when I started seeing the weight go down, that's when you start thinking, oh, my gosh, okay, I've been here before. I think I can see, you know, it's starting to happen. And it wasn't, it was a couple months. It took a couple months before somebody went, hey, are you losing weight? It was a couple months.
Uh-huh.
And I had lost a lot. And finally, someone goes, have you? And that's when you start to feel a little more
like
confident.
Like you've made some progress.
Right, and confidence and started. So
that's,
I guess,
the word I was looking for, confidence.
Confidence. So I guess maybe I should, this is a little side note here. If you do notice somebody who is losing weight and really trying, please say something to them. Please encourage them, because that means so much.
It really does.
It means so much, and it's just that, just fuels that, I think I'm doing the right thing. And, of course, I was getting all that positive from my family. I have a wonderful family. My wife she's a saint. She really is. And my kids have been so supportive.
Right.
But even just and it was a while before coworkers, clients, business relationships, that kind of thing, they start to go, hey, are you doing so? What are you doing? What's going on? And then I have to tell them, and I would tell them, I go, well, it's not really me. I'm taking the shot once a week, and I'm diabetic.
But it is you.
It is,
too.
Yeah,
so don't discount yourself, because you still have to put the effort in.
But that's part of the whole behavioral thing, because when you're so I'll go back to the obese Chris, which I always will be. It's like an alcoholic's always an alcoholic. I'm always going to be the fat guy. Because I'm the guy that is behind the group in a photo. I'm the one that doesn't want my picture taken. I'm the one that sits in the back where you can only see my face. And only those shots where people just happen to get me, you know, are you going to be able to get a picture of me, because I don't want my picture taken. I don't want to be in the front and center, even though I have to be many times for my job. I don't want to, because I'm ashamed of how I look.
But your biggest motivator for you would be what?
Well, my kids, my family, my grandkids. I got two beautiful babies and, you know, kids, and I want to be around.
Yeah.
But the crazy part is that fat guy inside of me, and I've said this before, I always feel like, you know, many people you'll hear, there's a skinny person in me trying to get out. I remember Richard Simmons, and there's a skinny person in you just wanting to get out. That's not me. There's a fat guy in me trying to pull me back in and keep me here and keep me being huge and shameful. And let's bring all the things in there, the depression and you know, anxiety, and what are people thinking about? I'm worried about what you're thinking
about
me.
So when you start doing that, do you try to pull yourself out rapidly instead of trying to let it fester?
No, typically I would just let it fester and then I'd eat. That's what happened. Yeah. But now there's so much positivity. So we can talk about the results here. I was seeing results as they happen, and it really helped to go to the doctor, and I saw that scale, and I went, oh, my gosh, first month, I think I lost.
And your blood work up, too,
by
the way.
Oh, that's the other thing. The other thing, all that's turned around. My A1C was almost 8. Mm-hmm. Well, it was in the 8s, 8 point something. My blood pressure was 190 over whatever.
That's scary.
And they added another blood pressure medicine and all that. So fast forward another month or two, they took away the blood. My blood pressure was down. My sugar was in more in line. A1C was back down under 6. So it's really,
it's wonderful.
It's turned everything around.
Yeah.
So they did take away one of my blood pressure medicines. I'm still on some other things simply because, you know.
That's one area for sure you can see a decrease in medication with blood pressure, weight related, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So as of today, and I went to the Family Y, and I did this. They've got this little body composition thing. You stand on it, and it weighs you, and then it tests your skeletal muscle mass and all that. And I showed you earlier, but I'll share this with everybody. I wanted to get the latest information here of where I'm at as of today. So I started March 4th and I was 318 pounds
of last year,
almost 319
right
last year on March 4th. As of today, I weigh 207.9 pounds, so 111 pounds,
which is huge.
And I have 14% body fat. So.
And the normal was what again?
40.
That was where you were at.
That's where I was at.
And the normal range.
Normal range for a
healthy male was.
For a male,
was 11
I'm
to 20.
55, 6'1", 11 to 22%.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm right in the middle of where it should be. So I feel good about all that. See, I do feel good about all that. My clothes, I'm wearing my son-in-law's shirt. It is a large shirt. I typically wear double X or triple X. I wore a size 44 pants. I'm wearing a size 32 today.
That in and of itself should be good motivators to continue on this path of success that you're having.
But here's where I get to, and this is where I think I do need that kind of help, because someone like me, and I can almost guarantee there's people out there who are just shaking their head going, yeah, that's me, is it's like I don't deserve it because I've destroyed my body so much that it's like, you know, I'm getting, and I also feel like it's not going to last. That I'm deathly afraid that I'm going to go backwards. So this is all well and good because I know how I am over the last, I'm 55, over the last 30 years or more. I'm going to go back.
That's a real fear.
Don't get rid of your fat clothes. That's me. I can't get rid of my fat clothes because I'll be back there in another year or two.
And
scary.
It's real. It's a real
it's
feeling.
It's very real, Chris. It's very, very real.
Yeah, that's where maybe some other behavioral health can come into play. But but the fact that you've also have continued to, and this is what I try to, it's part of my three P's.
Yeah.
One of the P's was planning lifestyle management changes that you can live with for the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And you've accomplished that pretty well, I believe. Yeah. So I think that will be in your favor, along with the help of the medication, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to discount that.
Yeah.
The other is the P is for power. Power in weights, strength training. I think is a huge thing. And then the other P is the plate method, looking at what you're eating and what's the portion size that you're eating.
Yeah. I'm going to speak to the power part of it. I'm down to 207. I don't think I've been this weight in 25 years or more. Well, more than that. But I have not, I don't think I've been in this good of shape since I was a freshman in high school doing two-a-days for football. Because that's when, you know, two-a-days in football,
right?
You're lifting weights, you're running, you know, 1,000 miles a day.
And licking
salt
tablets.
And I was just, boom. I don't think I've ever been in this good a shape. And I'm not bragging. I'm not at all am I bragging. I am amazed. I'm shocked. I actually did, and I'm excited about this, and there may be people listening going, well, what's the big deal? I actually can do push-ups. I can do push-ups. The other day, I'd never done them, and I never tried. A couple weeks ago on a Saturday morning, I was, you know what, I'm going to try this. And I did them, and I did like 10.
That's great.
Not your grandma push-ups. I feel bad. I'm not insulting grandmas.
I know what you're saying. You did
but you know, with your arms way out, you touch your forehead to nothing, and your butt sticking way up in the air. No. I did real push-ups, and I do them. Like, you know, you see Tom Cruise do push-ups. I'm not Tom Cruise, but I'm doing push-ups.
Yeah, that's really
good. I did 100 push-ups that day. And I told my wife, I go, look at this. I can do push-ups. She goes, wow, that's awesome. And I go, look at me. So my kids were at Christmas, and I go, hey, kids, look at this. I can do push-ups. It's
a small thing that's huge.
It is huge for me. Yeah. It was unfathomable a year ago.
Yeah.
No way could this fat guy do
a push-up. So that's what I'm trying to get you to put all that positive energy and that excitement that you have into that every day, because that's what's going to help make you continue on this journey.
I asked my granddaughter, who's 4 years old, little Della. So let's fast forward. Let's go back a year up to January. She's sitting on my lap. She goes, Poppy. She calls me Poppy. She said, Poppy, you look like you have a baby in your belly. Yeah. And it's just a little kid. Isn't this the honesty of kids? And, of course, in her, I go, oh, like, but inside, It was like a...
It was a gut punch.
It was like a gut punch. Mm-hmm. It really did. She's just, she didn't mean anything by it. She was laughing and she loves me and, you know,
right.
All that.
Right, no, get it.
But Poppy was, she was sitting on my lap and she could barely fit because I looked like I had, you know, mm-hmm. I had this big gut. And now... Today, well, the other day, she said something about skinny Poppy or something like that, and it just kind of those kind of things. I don't know if I can say it made me feel good. I don't know. It's a weird thing. I'm telling you, it's all mess. That's
so
why I think people
say, "Hey, that was a compliment. That was a good thing."
Yeah. I'm the one of those that where I will say, you know, people go, "Oh, you look so good," and I go, "Ah, yeah, I know, but I'm." You know, diabetes, and I take this thing, and I really don't, you know, it's not me.
Can
it's
you
just kinda,
accept the compliment move on?
But I think what I'm speaking to the behavioral health side of this is that when you've been heavy like me for all your life, you don't expect it to last. You don't expect this to be real. You don't expect it to be you anymore. You still see I don't see the fat guy in the mirror. But I expect to see him. Does that make any sense? Mm-hmm. That's weird. It is weird. And any little tiny change is like, oh my gosh, I'm going back again. I'm going back up. I'll, you know,
almost a little obsessive.
It is. It's yeah.
But
it's
an addiction. To you know, you trade off one addiction for another,
you're
right? But
you're
yours seems to be a healthy addiction right now.
I'm really trying. I can't say enough about my Dr. Conley in Knoxville. She's you know,
fabulous.
And you and your encouragement, you're always so encouraging. It's awesome. I mean, I can't speak enough to the encouragement that you give people who are going through that journey. They need it so bad because, frankly, I've been alone with it for so long. You don't talk about it because you're embarrassed. You're in shame. You don't talk about how you feel. You just, you know, laugh. And here's a little thing. When somebody says to me, this is a weird thing. And it always happens all my life. They go, "Hey, big guy. Hey, big guy. How you doing?"
Oh,
you know, it's an innocent, very, very innocent thing with a couple guys. You're like, "Hey, big guy. Hey, there's the big. There you are." And in your head, inside, you're like,
oh, "You don't like that."
I'm the big guy because I'm the big guy. You know, it's weird. It's little things like that. So that encouragement girls probably don't get that. But I know they got their own things they're dealing with. I totally get that. But for guys, even that one little, "Hey, big guy, there's a big guy. Hey, big guy, how you doing?" And it's a very innocent thing. But to me, it was this another reinforcement of, I'm the fat guy in the room. And when you're in a room of people, you are looking around going, "I'm the fattest guy in this room. I'm the heaviest guy in this room. I am the fattest, ugliest, and if we boil it down, the least worthy person in the room." Because of that. You
know
what I'm
saying? Because it all trickles down to
it
that
does.
Self-confidence
yes.
declines.
I don't want this to be this whole psychological breakdown of Chris's, problems.
But those are real things.
But when
that
we talk about weight
with.
Management, there's the behavioral health side of it is such a huge part of this. And so your encouragement and your mission partners, that encouragement that they give people like me, it's like medicine itself. It keeps you. It sustains you. That first day, your encouragement that first day got me through the first day because it gave me the courage to be able to talk to my wife about it.
Yeah, I think we talked about that a
little
bit, too. And I said, you really need to let her know
because
she's got to be a support person
for you, and
she is.
And so, it's this stuff works. It's not magic, but I think I'm grateful that I'm on it. And I hope that people ask me, "So how long are you going to take this medicine? How long do you have to take it?" And I said, I hope forever. I hope I take it forever because I don't want to go backwards. I don't want to be unhealthy because I know I make bad choices and I am addicted to food or whatever this is. And I know I've got issues, but it is, I hope I'm on it forever. I really do. I hope they let me take it. Because I need it. I don't want to die from this.
I mean,
this.
Everybody's different. You know, I have a sister who was on it for a while, and she lost the weight, but she, in the process, regained her confidence in getting physically active again and doing weights regularly. And she has been off of it for quite a while and has maintained fairly well. So there are some stories of people that, once again, the hope is that you're going to learn these lifestyle management changes. But at the other same, like I said before, obesity is a disease, and now we have medicine to help with that.
Right, right. Chris Willis is a clinical dietitian for OSF Healthcare, St. Mary Medical Center here in Galesburg. We spent a lot of time talking about me, but I know that was kind of what we wanted to do. And
because you're a great success story.
I hope so. I'm very
proud of you.
Try to be real, and I haven't shared a lot of the little weird things that come up with this kind of medicine, like some things, you know, maybe there's kind of dry mouth. Of course, that's probably hydration too, I would think.
Didn't you say that you were told to drink more
fluids? Oh, told to drink tons more water. There's, you know, constipation issues. There's a lot of that stuff that you're not really prepared for.
Which can also coincide with not enough fluid intake.
That's right. Now, people have asked me, does it make you sick? And I'm going to be honest, there's only been a couple times where I've been nauseous. And I'll tell you, I think a lot of it is because I wasn't eating enough, too.
Is one of the side effects is the nausea, but usually
but I haven't had a lot of
overcome that.
I have had dizziness a little bit, and I think that's, again, because of I let my blood sugar get too low
or
because I wasn't eating.
You're not drinking enough fluid.
Yes, there you go. See, I love that's why I love these conversations here. So let's transition from talking about me here, unless you have other questions there, because I'm an open book right now. But before we wrap things up, let's go back to and I did this, and I know we've talked about this before. You know, I work out 5 days a week, but I'm still 300 and some pounds because I eat crazy. Well, I eat healthy stuff. I eat granola bars. Oh. I drink orange juice. I don't, you know, I have, you know, I low calorie stuff. I eat fat free stuff. Let's hit some of those foods that people think are healthy, but we should probably be limiting them.
Right.
What are some of those that you would?
Well, I don't want to downplay fruit juice a whole lot, but it can be, again, one of those higher calorie beverages. I always say if you're drinking it, sucking it down, you don't realize the calories versus the solid food. So can you get, you know, the vitamin C from the orange versus the orange juice and get half the calories from it if you're calorie conscientious?
Yeah.
If not, drink the juice, 100% fruit juice. I don't mean to, again, downplay the importance of sometimes juice can be helpful in a well-balanced eating regimen. Things like, you know, a lot of your granola bars, protein bars, those items that are available for people can be high in sugar. So I always try to say, look at the ingredients on the label. To see how many ingredients are in that particular product. The more ingredients you've got in there, it's probably not as healthy for you, especially if sugar is like within the first three ingredients. You know, or look on the label, you know, what's the added sugar in that food item? You can even get that in yogurts. You know, some yogurts are high in sugar and not healthy, but it's yogurt, right?
Yeah, right.
So
it must be healthy. Yeah, right.
So it's looking at the least added sugar.
I have a question about the sugar. I see added sugar. Then sugar alcohols.
Okay, so sugar alcohols are part of a sweetening process for a food item. But the body's not able to metabolize it, so it goes right through you and out the other end.
Oh.
So if you're ever having constipation problems, go get a lot of sugar-free chocolate, and I guarantee you, you'll not have a problem. Anyway,
That's good to know. I'm writing that down.
Yeah, so the least added sugars in your diet, the better off you're going to be. You know, always list it like in grams, like, you know, 10 grams of sugar. So that tells you that particular food item is probably high in sugar of the total carbohydrate. It's got probably too much added sugar because if we're looking at what the American person is supposed to have, it's like 12 teaspoons, not more than what, 6 teaspoons a day for women and 9 teaspoons a day for a man. Or another, I mean, if you're looking at, 9 teaspoons a day for men for added sugar is the recommended cutoff point, 6 for women. So that's like 36 grams of sugar a day. Now, again, how many grams of sugar in a 12-ounce can of soda pop?
That's where you were just saying. It's like what?
Right there.
Yeah. That's easily. Like more than, yeah. What,
so,
yeah, oh my gosh.
So, yeah, it can add up pretty fast.
You mentioned, I brought up alcohol. That's another big thing. It's just like soda pop. You know, you drink a Guinness, or if somebody told me, they said, hey, you drink a Guinness, you might as well be eating a cheeseburger or something like that. I'm sure they're really embellishing, but it's not that bad.
No, I mean,
bad,
you're getting the benefits from the barley and the hop in there, aren't
okay.
you?
Well, then I don't feel so bad. Okay.
And alcohol, pure alcohol, like your vodkas, your whiskeys, your gins, those are metabolized differently in the body. Okay. You're still going to get some calories from them, but in and of themselves, you know, again, a small amount's not...
Moderation is with anything.
With anything. It's what we mix it with. So if we're mixing it with regular soda pop or those, you know, fruit juices, you know, or those fancy mixed drinks, then you're getting into a lot of sugar and calories.
Yeah.
And that makes the alcohol not as healthy.
I even shared with you that very first day when you and I were talking about my diet and what things I need to change. I did bring up alcohol, and I mentioned that I like vodka and Fresca because Fresca is sugar-free. It's calorie-free. It's zero
everything.
And
refreshing,
everything.
Right?
And refreshing. I put an ounce of vodka in it, and it's,
And you're good to go.
Yeah, I was good to go. And when I really liked dark beer, but that's got a lot of carbs in it.
It's probably going to have more than your ultra lights or your lights. But are you doing that consistently and regularly? And I think that's, I think it's part of a normal socialization, reward yourself once in a while kind of treat for you.
And it speaks to you, those little changes you can make, just moderation. You don't cut it completely out if you don't want to.
Nope.
You still want to enjoy
never
your life.
Completely, unless you know, again, what kind of an eater you are.
Yes,
and
or
if you,
drinker or that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yes. Right. Some of the other things, gluten-free packaged foods. We hear gluten-free, all that.
So I think that's going to be a personal choice for people. Is it a necessary thing? No. Unless you have actually been diagnosed with what we call celiac disease. Okay. Those particular individuals, when they eat gluten, it actually ruins their stomach lining. It can make them very, very sick. Okay. So that is an actual diagnosis, medical diagnosis, and it's important for those particular individuals for sure to have gluten-free diets. Aside from that, it's a personal choice that people are choosing to make, and some of them say they feel better because they've cut it out. Okay, that's their choice.
Yeah. Well, we have taken, I've taken a lot of your time, and I knew this was going to go long, and I really appreciate you spending that
pleasure.
Extra time.
I could talk about this forever.
We've gone through so many things here.
I think it's just important to understand that, you're an individual, and that one diet plan's not going to work the same way as it is for person A as it is for person B. Let's sit down and take a look at, what you're eating. You know, do you have any other health conditions? Do you have lab values that are very, very important? I love looking at lab values. That we need to focus on for your particular health. Maybe it's just high blood pressure. Maybe it's you have the heart disease going on, and let's focus on what foods would be healthier for you for that particular issue. So it's more of an individual recipe, I think, for some of these individuals that are out there. And that, sometimes it's not all about the weight. I really feel bad that there's that stigma out there. And if there's something that you want to do to make it better, that's your choice. And there are tools out there that can be helpful for you. But if you're, feel like you're overweight, but you've got normal lab values, you don't have heart disease, your blood pressure is good, and you're happy, that's your personal choice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can look at me, and my nickname is Twiggy, so... This is my body build.
Yeah.
I've never been. That was my grandpa's nickname for me, Twiggy, growing up. I've always been on the thin side. So it's important for me to try to maintain that muscle mass for that reason, because I always feel like people are judging me because I'm on the opposite spectrum.
Yes, right.
A lot of times. So, and yes, I do eat M&Ms and I do eat chocolate chip cookies, you know, but that's moderation.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I incorporate all foods into my diet.
Yeah.
And enjoy my wine as well.
People have access to you because usually recommended by their doctor, correct?
It generally has to be physician referred. And then of course unfortunately a lot of things are insurance driven as to, you know, diagnosis versus whether they can get medical nutrition therapy.
Yeah. Well, I guess I would say if someone is dealing with these, you know, the cardiac issues or they're referred to you, please take advantage of Chris's services, because my gosh, it is.
They can also call me, and I can address questions over the phone too.
Gotcha.
And or send information as well. I'm happy to do that.
Excellent.
As well.
Yeah. So they can contact St. Mary Medical Center here.
Correct.
And reach out to you, Chris. Thank you so much for what you do for folks, and I appreciate you. And
well,
thank you for
again.
All the time you took today.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate being here. Thanks.